Bible lesson here on October 13th. I want to thank Brother Phil and those who've been covering for me for the past few months, one while I was traveling and the other when I was dealing with some health issues and medical tests. I appreciate them stepping in at the last minute and helping me out. This morning, we're going to conclude our study of Psalm 23. We've been studying Psalm 23 for quite a long time now, and in our last adult lesson that I taught, that was back in the summertime, I think, if I remember, because it's been quite a while, so you probably don't even remember it. But anyway, I spoke to you about God's promise of hope, and we were focusing on the first part of verse 6 of Psalm 23, which said, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." Now this month, which is our 12th and final lesson of this series, I'd like to focus on the last part of that verse, and I've titled this lesson, Forever, and we're going to be examining God's promise of home. So let's stand together, and let's read together Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You may be seated. If you remember way, way back to our first lesson, we saw that Psalm 23 began with a very proud and joyous statement, "The Lord is my shepherd." And now we see that it closes with an equally joyous statement, "And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." And that's our key verse for this lesson, that last part of verse 23 of Psalm 23, verse 6. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And Brother Israel, would you pray for our lesson today, please? Amen. Amen. Thank you. I have a quote that I'm going to read you. It's from Philip Keller's book, A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23. And this is what he has to say. He says, "Here is a sheep," talking about this last part of verse 6. "Here is a sheep so utterly satisfied with its lot in life, so fully contented with the care it receives, so much at home with the shepherd, that there is not a shred of desire for a change. Conversely, on the shepherd's side, there has developed a great affection and devotion to his flock. He would never think of parting with such a sheep. So strong now are the bonds between them that it is in very truth forever. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Many people enjoy this spectacle of fireworks, especially during our 4th of July celebrations. I know Sister Cash made arrangements for a very special fireworks display for my husband and my 50th wedding anniversary. We really enjoyed that. Thinking back to another time of fireworks, this was when my older three children were younger. We went to Forest Park to sit on the hill to watch the Springfield fireworks, and we were there with all the people around us. And the fireworks started, and my, I mean, it was one after another. It was spectacular. It was one of the most beautiful displays I ever saw. And then it was done, and we waited for the next one, and nothing came. And we waited, nothing came. Finally, people who were around us had their radios on, found out someone had accidentally set them all off at the same time. So we had the whole night's fireworks in that one setting, but it was spectacular while it was going on. And the finales can be very, very electrifying during these expensive displays, and they can be exciting. But you know, fireworks are only man-made. But the heavens, God's sun, and God's moon, and his stars declare his glory. They are the revealed handiwork of the Lord. This is what we're told in Psalm 19:1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament sheweth his handiwork. The heavens are real. The heavens are enduring. They are not merely loud blasts. They're not merely puffs of smoke, which are only temporary. And in that final verse of Psalm 23, we see David turning our focus away from this present life, which is only temporary, which is like a puff of smoke, or as the Bible says in James 4:14, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. And so David turns our focus toward the eternal one as he pronounces, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Suddenly, as he speaks of our forever home in the house of the Lord, this world becomes dim as we're allowed a glimpse into the glory of heaven. God's care for us all along the way, and his promise to care for us all the days of our life, well, that's like fireworks. It's thrilling, it's exciting, it's brilliant, but it's temporal. But a forever home in heaven? That's like looking at the reassuring beauty of God's sun, at the reassuring beauty of God's moon and stars. God's promise of a forever home is a wonderful promise, and perhaps his most precious promise of all. Now, way back in the summertime in our last lesson, which I had titled Surely, we covered four of the seven reasons for hope in the future. We discussed the Lord's continued goodness as a hope for the future. We discussed his continued mercy as a hope for the future. We discussed his continued pursuit of us as a hope for the future, and also his continued presence that gives us hope for the future. Having been shepherded through all of the days of our life by the Lord's goodness and by his mercy and by his running after us, his pursuit, and by his presence, we finally reach the Father's house. At last, we can step into our everlasting dwelling place. We are home at last. And this brings us to the fifth reason for hope in the future: everlasting worship. Everlasting worship. There will be everlasting worship. David, who was a shepherd, who was also a warrior, and at times a fugitive, longed always to be near the Lord. To dwell in the house of the Lord was the desire of his heart. He wanted much more than merely to be the Lord's guest in a tent along the way. He yearned to dwell with the Lord and to be his forever child, not just an acquaintance, not just a visitor for a brief stay. David wanted to live with the Lord. He wanted to stay with him. He wanted to experience the fullness of joy and the forevermore pleasures of the Lord's presence. And to dwell in the house of the Lord forever will be to worship the Lord of that house forever. Just as the Levites, who were assigned to serve the Lord in his sanctuary, considered the courts of the Lord to be their true home, David too had set his mind and his heart there. For then he will be in the house of the Lord forever, where he will worship the Lord forever. David, in expressing himself and his thoughts in Psalm 23:6, speaks from his heart to ours to tell us what is important to him. David is letting us know exactly what consumes his heart. He's telling us exactly what consumes his soul. He's telling us what exactly consumes his mind, and it's Lord Jesus. In fact, he's preoccupied with the Lord. His passion is for the Lord. His focus is on the Lord, and his gaze is ever upward to that place where he will one day dwell with the Lord and worship him forever. We definitely know where David's gaze was fixed. But a better question, I think, this morning is to ask ourselves, where is our gaze fixed? And what is our gaze producing? Now, here's a little something to think about. I found this in the Encyclopedia of 7,700 Illustrations. And this is a quote from Paul Lee Tan. And he's talking about the 23rd channel, which he is saying is the TV. But I think we can also go beyond the TV to thinking about how we use our computers and our iPads and our phones with all this media available to us. How do we use this? And he says here, Paul Lee Tan says, the TV is my shepherd. You could substitute whatever else you want in there. My spiritual growth shall want. It maketh me to sit down and do nothing for its name's sake, because it requires all my spare time. It keepeth me from doing my duty as a Christian, because it presenteth so many good shows that I must see. It restoreth my knowledge of the things of the world, and keepeth me from the study of God's word. It leadeth me in the paths of failing to attend the evening church services and doing nothing in the kingdom of God. Yea, though I live to be 100, I shall keep viewing my TV as long as it will work, for it is my closest companion. Its sounds and pictures, they comfort me. It presenteth entertainment before me and keepeth me from doing important things with my family. It fills my head with ideas which differ from those in the Word of God. Surely no good thing will come of my life because of so many wasted hours, and I shall dwell in my regrets and remorse forever. Thought it was something interesting to think about. So as I asked before, where is our gaze fixed? What do we talk about? Where does our heart dwell? What is our greatest pleasure? The next time we hear ourselves chattering on and on about a TV program or the news or the latest talk from a talk show, remember, our heart is showing. Turn off that channel and worship instead. Then we'll find ourselves expressing praises like David did as he thought about the Lord. And as he thought about the Lord, he worshiped. Now, the sixth reason for hope in the future is an everlasting home. We will have an everlasting home. The concept of a house and a home has deeply emotional effects on the heart of every person alive. I don't know what the mention of the word home does to a man's mind, but since I'm not a man, but as a woman, I can tell you what it does to a woman's mind. Well, this woman's mind anyway. But my mind tends to race toward decorating and organizing and cleaning, these type of things. I think about the nest that I'm creating for my loved ones. But imagine what the concept of a home might have meant to David. David, as a shepherd, knew all about the nomadic way of life. Shepherds were always on the move, their whole life long. They were regularly pitching and moving their tents as they grazed their sheep. To have a house and a home was usually an unfulfilled dream for a shepherd. In fact, David's whole life had been a pilgrimage, a journey home. He traveled through many lovely meadows as well as many dark valleys of death. He'd had his share of storms. He had had his shares of adversaries. And the Lord had never failed to care for him. But David was ready for his trek, this troubled trek, to end. He was ready to go home. What did David mean by the house of the Lord? Well, we know it couldn't have been the temple in Jerusalem because it hadn't been built yet. And it wasn't the house David wished to build for the Lord because he used the word forever. And we know that no man-made house lasts forever. So let's look at what the Bible says about our situation here on earth. In Psalm 119, verse 19, the psalmist described himself as a stranger. He says, "I am a stranger in the earth. Hide not thy commandments from me." And then when we go to 1 Peter 2, verse 11, Peter uses the same type of term to describe us Christians. He said, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul." So according to the Bible, we are strangers and pilgrims while we're here on this earth. So if we are strangers and pilgrims here on earth, then where is home? Jesus talks about our home in John 14, verses 2 through 3. He says, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." It is plain to see that our home is something far greater than a temple. It is something far greater than a house. It is even far greater than a mansion. It is another life. It is an everlasting home. It is forever fellowship with the Lord beyond the grave. And this is what David meant when he wrote, "And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Throughout his life, David longed for the Lord, and he longed to be with the Lord. His words expressed a very deep desire for an awareness of the continual presence of the Lord and the realization of constant communion with him. David's desire to dwell in the house of the Lord forever is expressed in many other places in the Psalms. For example, we can read in Psalm 26:8, "Lord, I have loved the habitation of thy house, and the place where thine honor dwelleth." And then we can read in Psalm 27:4, "One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple." And in Psalms 84:4, we read, "Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee, Selah." David did become a king, and a wealthy one at that. He possessed worldly riches. He had at his fingertips worldly pleasures. But these worldly pleasures simply did not compare with the everlasting pleasure of being at home in the house of the Lord, with the Lord of the house forever. I'm reminded of a mother I was talking to at one time. She was reminiscing about the time that her daughter decided to live in an apartment with a group of her female college friends after college graduation. Her mom had thought that, well, when she graduates from college, she'll just come home till she finds a job and all of this. But her daughter had different ideas. And the mother was describing to me the emotions that she wrestled with the announcement of her daughter that she was going to be finding an apartment with her college friends. She was saying, why? Why would my daughter want to live with a group of girls when her home is only a few minutes away? What's wrong with our home? But the daughter was 22 years old, and to her, the move seemed to be the obvious next step in her life. And the mother admitted that her daughter moving into that apartment did turn out to be a blessing in disguise, because living in that environment, her daughter had learned how to cook for herself and for others on a regular basis. Her daughter had learned to keep her part of the apartment clean. Her daughter had learned to decorate her side of the bedroom and to get along with the others on a day-in, day-out basis. And these were all good things. But this mother also shared with me that she never forgot her daughter's words the day that her daughter moved back home to prepare for her upcoming wedding. She said as the daughter sank into the sofa, she admitted with a sigh, "Mom, it's okay out there, but it's just not home." And I think this is the sentiment that David is telling us. It's okay out there in the world. It's okay out there in the marketplace. It's okay in our friendships. It's okay in our experiences. It's okay in managing our challenges, but it's just not home. We each yearn to be no more a stranger or guest, but a child at home. And that's what our forever home means to us. May our hearts ever reflect this truth as we reflect with hope on the promise of our everlasting home, on dwelling in the house of the Lord forever. The seventh reason for hope in the future is his everlasting presence. Now, there's no doubt that David broke some barrier when he penned the sentence, "I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Reaching out with his heart toward the Lord, whose presence he so longed to enjoy forevermore, David reached out to a higher truth. He would forever be with the Eternal One. He would be with the Lord forever. Just like David, we have conditions in our lives that make the promise of a forever home in the presence of the Lord something that we look forward to. As we live here on earth dealing with pain, dealing with afflictions, dealing with deprivations, dealing with persecutions, and even death, we too long to be in the Lord's everlasting presence, there in the house of the Lord forever. Our earthly trials make the promise of heaven seem all the sweeter. What awaits us there? What will we experience when we step across the threshold between earth and heaven? The book of Revelation tells us this in the 21st chapter and the 4th verse. "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." Imagine, no more tears, no more crying, no more sadness, no more enemies. Amen. Yeah. No more trials.
Amen.
No more affliction.
Hallelujah.
No more pain of heart.
Amen.
No more pain in your body.
Yes.
No more wandering. No more climbing. No more trekking and wading through life. All that we endure will be removed forever. And all that we yearn for will be provided forever. Oh, that to me sounds glorious. What peace. What an existence it will be to dwell in the everlasting presence of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. D.L. Moody said this. I found it in notes from my Bible and thoughts from my library that he had written. It says, "For short sorrow, we shall have everlasting joy. For a little hunger, an everlasting banquet. For a little sickness and affliction, everlasting health and salvation. For a little bondage, endless liberty. For disgrace, glory. For evil surroundings, the elect. For Satan's temptations, the comfort of God." Our hearts long for the fulfillment of promise of heaven too. We long to worship the Lord forever, to be at home with him forever, and to enjoy his presence forever. So why don't we begin to worship him and to enjoy his presence right here and now, here on earth, today, and every day. I know we're busy, everyone is. And I know we're bombarded on each side with distractions and with responsibilities. However, let's consider what David had to say in Psalm 16:8, where he says, "I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved." What does it mean to set the Lord always before us? Well, let me give you this illustration. Some time ago, I had read about a church youth leader who took her youth group on an outing to an art museum. There she wanted her youth group to view the masterpieces that were on display there. And once there, she was very intent on whisking her group from room to room, from painting to painting, from display to display. She was determined that her youth group would see it all. But each time she crisscrossed the museum on the run, she caught sight of one particular room. And in that room, there was a gentleman seated on a bench across from one painting. And while she and her group were zipping through every nook and cranny of the vast museum, this man never moved. He remained on that bench for the entire time, drinking in the glory of the one masterpiece. Now, with her goal of touring the museum and its legendary gardens accomplished, this youth leader breathlessly bustled all of her youth group out to the bus to board it and to head for home. And sure enough, as they all left the grand hall, she caught sight of that man again. He was still there. And on the bus ride home, she thought about that man. And she concluded, his was probably the better way. She admitted that she could hardly recall what she had seen on her whirlwind tour. And she could only imagine what that unknown man was taking home with him. The colors, the details, the understanding, the treasure, the appreciation, the comprehension, the feelings of just one masterpiece. And I think we should do as that wise man did. We should set aside the busyness and bustle of life, at least for a time each day, and set the Lord before us. Or as one translator declared, I keep the eternal at all times before me. We should set the many things in life aside and enjoy the one thing. We should choose to sit and soak in his beauty. We should choose to sit and soak in his essence. We should choose to sit and soak in his majesty. We should choose to sit and soak in his promises. And we should choose to sit and soak in his glory. Now, today. Psalms 84, 1 through 2 tells us, how amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God.
Amen.
And as we conclude this lesson, my prayer is that you may know well and acknowledge with full confidence that I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Forever. Thank you for your attention this morning.